You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, Kate, what are you listening to?
Magic Foot.
Oh. I don't want to know.
No. Oh. No, it's a song.
Oh. What's that from?
Hello, and welcome back to episode 25 of What's That From? A podcast where we explore musicals we don't know, but probably should. I'm Kate.
And I'm Josh. And this week we're exploring the musical, the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee.
It was too easy. They handed it to us. For the 25th episode?
We had to. It's the 25th annual
Putnam County podcast. So there. A quarter of the way to 100.
Wow. Some milestones. We've got 1,000 episode downloads.
Come on.
And our 25th episode. Two big milestones. So
wow.
If you're out there listening and you've been there from the beginning, this one's for you. And if you're just joining us, this one's also for you. And next week's for you too. So why don't you listen next week too?
Bring a friend. Tell everyone you know. This is turning into like an aggressive plug for our podcast.
Yeah.
Yell it on the streets. All right.
Spell it out.
We couldn't spell it out any clearer for you. Let's dive right in.
So, I think it's time for the 30-second plot challenge.
I think you're right.
But this time we're going to do a little twist on it.
What?
You have to spell every word you say.
No! My heart literally just like stopped. I was like, what are you about to do?
Here we go.
Okay.
Three, two, go.
The 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee is about a spelling bee that takes place at a middle school in Putnam County. It's hosted by a nostalgic woman who was in the spelling bee when she was a child. There's a bunch of quirky characters that are obviously trying to get into that like big spelling competition in DC. Through a series of events, we find out more about them and their different lives. And eventually the underdog takes the cake. They make friends, they learn about each other and have a really freaking fun time.
Wow, you always end with 25 seconds left. You always are like, I don't need... It should be a 25-second plot challenge for you. And it's our 25th episode for the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee.
Whoa, that was cool.
Kate.
I planned it. This show.
It's a goodie.
It's a great.
And this is another one like I was talking about with Sideshow, where I knew I would like it, but for some reason I was saving it for later.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad because
and you were right.
It was great. I like anything William Finn does pretty much. I really like his music because I think he gives me like Sondheim energy of like the really like interesting, unique musical patterns and like the artsy, like other layer of writing,
yeah.
Not just like surface level. Like there are so much layers to his songs and lyrics,
mm-hmm.
but they're so much musical theater in them. Like,
right.
they're all so Broadway. You know,
Broadway.
Like, so, like,
yes. If people need a reminder, head on back to the episode on A New Brain with music and lyrics by the same William Finn.
Who also wrote falsettos And I was just thinking, like, so much of the show, I was just thinking about him. I don't know why. Not necessarily about, like, the piece, but I was just thinking about how much I really enjoy his writing.
Yeah. He writes just genuinely good music.
Yeah, like, it's just good music. And sometimes it's weird.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's quirky.
But I like that.
But it's about so unique.
So unique.
Yeah.
Great job, William. Keep doing what you're doing.
What I really liked about this one was that there wasn't necessarily, like, a plot. You know what I mean? Like, there's a given circumstance and, like, a time limit and a setting, which ends up being, like, the plot is the spelling bee. Right. It's watching all the different people go up. But what I really liked was he uses this, like, motif a lot of, like, giving a setting and then it's all, like, vignettes of these people's lives. So I really liked how the spelling bee felt to me just like a function of plot to, like, have us have a glimpse of each of these, like, kids' lives. Because they would just come up and then sing a song. Like, they would get a word, which I thought was so smart, that would just trigger a memory or story so that we could learn more about their lives. So then it was, like, the setting also played a role in, like, giving us a key into each of them. Because each word was a key into a new story about them. So I was like, I just loved how the spelling bee was used as a, like, to move a plot forward, a tool.
Yes.
When it wasn't necessarily just like, he meets her, they like each other, but then she's doing this thing. And, like, there was, like, a plot. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
There is, but it's, like, it's more like a state about of being.
It's like, here's a place. Right. Here's some people. Right. Go.
But I love how they used it.
Yeah.
It was so smart.
I totally agree.
So smart.
I totally agree. And I think for a show that I actually think really accurately describes children's thought processes, like the way that they think about things or how they answer things or do things. I think it's really smart to not have, like, a crazy plot. I mean, listen, there are some things that happen. Obviously, it's
there's
not just
stories.
It's not just
there's a lot of stories.
Yes.
Right. It's not just, like, random songs. Right. For sure.
You know, and in the end, like, Olive becomes friends with, like, William Barfay.
They build relationships.
They build relationships and they learn about each other and they're all a little quirky and silly. And through a series of events, they all end up rooting for each other. And, you know, there's things that connect them, but really they're just
it's a really unique show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved it.
I love it.
I guess what I'm trying to say is it felt more like a concept musical to me.
Yes. No, but literally, I also think because it's so funny and witty, it just sounds like it's literally like, all right, the setting is a spelling bee, your children, and you all have something different to say. Ready? Go.
And you know what's funny is that it's based off of
an improv
play about a spelling bee. So it's literally what they did. And then they were like, this is great. We should do a musical. Yeah. And I was thinking also about how fun it must have been to develop this piece.
Right.
Because so many things that, like, they'll, like, plant the seed for in the beginning come into play later.
Yes.
So I'm like, oh, like, this must have been so much fun creating.
And they have, in the show, they have members of the audience come up on the stage to be part of the spelling bee, which obviously inviting any stranger onto the stage, that's opening a door for improv.
And opening a door for them, Broadway debut, off the street.
Off the street. Suddenly they're on Broadway.
Well, I gotta say, when I saw Motown, there's one part where Diana Ross, like, the Supremes are doing reach out and touch somebody's hand, and she's like, everybody, I see, even you in the balcony, stand up. And I was like, I'm in the balcony. And as I stood up, I was like, this is my Broadway debut.
Oh my God.
She's like, everybody's singing. I'm like, I'm singing on Broadway. First Broadway show I ever saw.
Wow. You made it. Is that on your resume?
No.
That could be fun.
Could be.
You're like, already made my Broadway debut.
Motown.
I feel so confused. Oh, that's funny.
Anyways.
But this show, I like.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty,
and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
To describe the plot is going to be, I feel like, a little interesting. Because it's based, I mean, really, we've kind of covered it. I mean, the two, like, spelling, I don't know what you'd call them, like, proctors or, like, the people that are...
The host.
Leading the hosts. Yeah. The B hosts.
Rona, Lisa Peretti.
Which, like, what a... Rona?
The
Miss Rona.
Literally. Literally Miss Rona Lisa Peretti. That's what we should be calling her. Corona's out. Rona Lisa Peretti is in.
That's exactly right. Miss Rona
From
Lisa
now
Peretti.
On, I'm only calling COVID-19 Rona Lisa Peretti.
Done. That's it. That's the... That's, you can't beat MAME.
Start the hashtag.
Yeah. You can't beat MAME, but Rona Lisa Peretti done.
Shut the world down.
Shut the world down. Thank you. Correct. So she like is setting up the B when the show starts.
And I really liked her character function in the show too.
Yeah.
And her music all is so good.
Stunning.
Yeah.
She's like mixing
it's pretty music.
The gods.
Yeah. I was like, she sounds young.
She sounds good.
Yeah.
Butter.
Yeah.
So she comes on and she's talking about how she won the third annual spelling bee, which do the math.
Which I also thought was like so smart too, to have like the host of it like mean so much to her. Like, we haven't really talked about this yet, but it's very caricature cartoony. Like,
yeah.
So much. Like, mm-hmm. If you're not into like sticky, like, it's not going to be the show for you because right. It is like.
Yeah. One big bit.
A comic
it's a
book.
Bit.
Yeah. And it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Don't ever change.
Yeah. Like,
so she comes on and is like having her little nostalgic, like, I'm in the same town I was in, but I won the third spelling bee and I'm
so excited.
Reliving yeah. My glory days.
Can't wait for you to watch it too.
Can't
like, she's
wait.
Like kind of like telling the audience too.
Right. So then she, and I, they do break the fourth wall a lot in the show too, which is also super fun. They refer to the audience as some characters, or they like point different people out, or like they use the audience as the audience of the spelling bee. Also, thank goodness, like love that. It would be so awkward if they'd pretended that there was no audience
yeah.
There. So she's like, Rona is in bringing everyone in, introducing everyone, kind of just like starting off and like... prepping for the bee.
Right.
And she also brings the four people on stage that are going to be the little...
The audience
little
members.
Bonus,
yeah.
The little audience members.
So we meet, like, Chip, who was last year's champion, who's a Boy Scout. Schwartzy.
Yeah.
He's the youngest, and he's, like, into politics. He's, like, one of those middle school kids.
Yeah.
That thinks they know... So much.
Yeah.
And then Coney Bear.
Yeah.
Who is, comes from like hippie parents.
Yeah.
Which makes sense with the name. And then we get Barfay.
Yeah, William Barfay.
Who's allergic to nuts. Personally relate.
You say
to Barfay.
Me.
And,
everybody loves Barfay.
Marcy, who is an overachiever.
Mm-hmm.
And Olive.
Ostrowski.
Yeah. Olive's like the sweet, yeah.
And in the beginning, in the beginning of the show, it's expressed that she doesn't have her $25 fee to pay, and she like took a bus to get there by herself,
and they're
she
like,
just has
okay,
a sad
like, we'll let
little...
you into it, yeah. They like it's our first little taste of like the sadness that's in her life.
Yeah, poor Olive.
And like we do like a lot, like even though the show's very silly, very quirky. It's, like, a lot of sad things to sing about. Like,
and
it's very
yes.
Fun music, but, like, a lot of the context underneath it is just, like, I don't know. It's kind of sad when you think about it, too, because I'm, like, we're watching kids talk about, like, all their trauma that's going
right.
to really, like, mess them up when they grow up.
But I guess maybe that's also the genius of
yeah.
It. You know, like, hearing a kid be, like, I'm not that smart. People tell me that I'm blah, 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 blah. But they're, like, so, like, well, Anyway, someone told me this, you know, like, because they're kids, they just go from one thing to another. But when you actually listen to it, you're like, that's
traumatizing.
Terrible. Oh, my gosh. So then they kind of start the bee. And, like, Olive is like, you know, I save that spot for my dad. Right? Yes. Like, that's kind of part of the bit, too, is that, like, her parents aren't there.
They're not there, but they're saving a seat for him.
Yeah.
And then...
I wouldn't say... I don't know that, like, Olive is the main character, but I feel like she's the one that you follow most.
And I think even in shows like this, you kind of have to have...
She has, like, a through line.
You have to have a through line of some sort.
So I think that's Olive. Olive
it's
kind of
like
the,
a chorus line, too. Like, it's like... Cassie's not, like, the lead of a chorus line.
Right.
But, like, she's probably the story that you can follow from beginning to end the easiest.
I see. Yeah, that's very...
And because she has, like, that great big song people think of her as the lead of it, but she's really not.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like that's Olive.
Yeah.
Olive
is the Cassie of this show.
Yeah. That might be, like, my favorite comparison we've ever
made. It kind of makes sense, honestly, when you think about it.
It does make a lot of sense. I understood that perfectly.
Spell me those words.
Give me a chance to come through. All I ever needed. That's hilarious. So they kind of start the bee, and they start the spelling with the audience members involved.
Yeah.
That's how it starts, because they kind of need to get them off the stage.
Right. So it's a funny bit, and it's over.
So they start with, like, the audience members up there, so they kind of go through things with that.
We also meet, we have Miss Rona, we also have Vice Principal Douglas Panch, who was, like, a last-minute choice to be, like, the word pronouncer for it, and Mitch Mahoney, who is a menacing ex-con.
He's incredible. That character's incredible.
Yeah, he's like the comfort counselor, so he gives out like juice whenever, or like punch whenever people
he
get eliminated.
Comes out every time like the bell rings and they get off, and then he sings like a beautiful ballad about it's just hilarious.
So funny.
It's so good.
So he's the comfort counselor, the vice principal, and Miss Rona.
A motley crew for sure.
Right.
So they're all doing their spelling thing. Logan Schwartzengrubenier, she's called up first. And they kind of go through a bunch of different characters, you know, just as a typical spelling bee would, calling them up, spelling, moving on.
And then we have, like, a flashback of, like, as they go through of different things. Like, we find out that Coney Bear only made it into the contest because his school's winner and the first runner-up both couldn't attend because of the winner's bar mitzvah. So he just was an automatic in.
Which is just so sweet. Like, oh my gosh.
But then he, like, doesn't have any, like, passion really or skill to win. But then he'll, like, snap into a trance, and then he'll, like, spell the word perfectly.
Yeah. Like, he has, like, a...
They all have, like, their own little, like, quirks and tics. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is just so cute. And so, yeah, he goes into these little trances. And then...
Olive goes up, and she's, like, shy...
Like, and it's because a complex family.
Right, it's because of her parents. Her mother's in India on a spiritual journey.
She's finding
herself. Pray, love.
Yeah.
And then her dad is, like, always busy, doesn't have time to spend any time with her.
Yeah. And as she, like, foreshadowed, she's saving a seat for him, and he's not there. And she took the bus there on her own, which is so sad.
Right.
But so she's all... Aw, like, my friend, the dictionary.
Very Matilda. Like, the only person she had was the books.
The books, except this book has no
the words.
Plot.
It's the letters. So it's like Matilda, no magic, just drama, no books, just letters. That's what I'm getting. Olive is Cassie and Matilda.
Olive is Cassie and Matilda. Thank you. We've done it this time.
Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not wrong. The dictionary, though, it's so funny because it's just like a book of words. Like, it's this
mess. Like, at least Matilda, like,
was reading,
getting smarter, but she just, like, knows every letter and word. I mean, I hope she knows every letter, but.
Yeah. Wow. That's funny. Oh my gosh. So then they keep going through the audience volunteers, and there's a formula with the audience volunteers. Like, they start really easy, and then the second time, they're like, the second volunteer goes up and they give them a really hard word. There's like a whole like thing with that.
They thought about it.
It's built into the
They were
show.
Like, how do we get these people out of here as soon as possible?
How do we get them out of here? That's literally their whole thing. So then William Barfay is called up, and he goes up to spell, and his little thing that he does is he spells out the word with his foot on the ground. Magic foot. That's his technique, and it works.
It
works really well for him.
Yeah.
I used to watch The Spelling Bee on TV, the DC one. Did you watch it too?
I've seen clips.
Okay.
Like Akilah in the
movie. Me too. Great movie. But, I mean, this isn't like, it's a funny little bit, but I feel like someone would totally do that.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen people do it, or they write it in their hand at the DC Spelling Bee, the big, like,
hey, if it works for you, it works for you.
They got to visualize it. So Barfay's got his magic foot.
Cute.
Great. Also a great song that he sings about it.
But see, the thing is, he didn't sing the song until later, which is something else I noticed, is that they would introduce something, but the characters wouldn't sing about it until a little bit later, which I thought was smart too.
Mm-hmm.
So then it feels like you're more in the world of it.
Yes. And it's not like, oh, I'm singing about this thing I'm going to do. It's like, oh, you've already seen me do this. Here's a song about it. That's just that's me as a human. Now I'm going to dehumanize it by making it a song.
Right.
But not like, here's this sticky song.
Yeah. I like that it wasn't just all like they introduce the thing and they sing about it. It was like they would like plant the seed and then it would come in later.
Yeah.
You know, I like
Good
that.
Point. I really do like that too. So then he goes up. He's doing a great job, obviously. Then there's more audience participation. And this kind of like sparks the song Pandemonium, which is audience members are getting really easy words to spell, like cow.
Right.
And then someone will go up and have to spell some crazy word.
Right.
And then they sing this whole song about like, life is so random and unfair. Like, why are we doing all this when I'm getting this crazy word and they just spelled cow?
Right.
A very funny.
So funny.
Pandemonium is the name of the song, which I think is, it's a good one.
I think it's great too.
So then
Logan goes up?
Yes.
Looks like Logan.
Logan, Schwartz and Grubinier.
Yep. So then Logan goes up and then it's shown that like both of her fathers are like arguing. So like that's her trauma.
Yeah, she has two dads and they hate losers.
Yes.
Like that's their whole bit, is they hate people that lose.
So she's gotta win.
Pressure.
Yeah, she's gotta win.
Talk about pressure. Jeez. And then Leif Coney Bear goes up and he doesn't know how to spell the word again, but then he like
ends up spelling it right.
Ends up going into that trance again and spells it. He sings a sweet song, I'm Not That Smart. Leif Coney Bear is the sweetest character.
It's a great song.
He is so goofy and he has no idea what's going on. It's so flighty, and then he goes into this trance. It's just so sweet.
Love it.
But that's like the sad song I was talking about where he's like, I'm not that smart.
It's a great song. It's so quirky and cute. But then it's just like, yeah, everybody tells me I'm dumb and I am. Because he just accepts it.
Oh my gosh.
But he's not. He's smart. He spelled all these words.
Yeah.
And then Barfay goes back up and this time sings about the magic foot. And like it's like jazzy Broadway. Like so smart too to like give somebody a tick that you could use as like a Broadway musical number.
Yes.
Magic foot. Then it's like a soft shoe dance.
So
like
good.
So like, it's like genius.
Genius.
Yeah.
Then Marcy goes up and she has like a really hard work and or hard word, I mean.
I mean, she's putting in the hard work too.
She's putting in the hard work and she gets a hard word. I wouldn't like I will say I'm reading some of this, like I can't even pronounce these words.
No.
I wouldn't even attempt to pronounce the
nope.
word. So she spells a hard word. It's I don't even know how to pronounce it. And so this is kind of setting her up to be very like, she is the overachiever, perfectionist, gets to the point. She's not being goofy. She's not messing around. She's here to be the best.
Right. And then Rona mentions that she's just all business, but that
leads up to also
like,
her song.
Right. Like, oh, make sure to take a step back.
Yeah. And so then Chip Tolentino goes up and not paying attention because he's looking at Leaf Coney Bear's sister, Marigold, and he...
She's in the audience.
She's in the audience, and he doesn't want to go up because he has an erection.
So he's like, young. He's going through puberty.
And he's like, Marigold Coney Bear is out there, and now I just like really feel so awkward. And so he has to stand up and like go up there. And then he gets like a sexual word that he has to spell. So it's just torture. They just are digging it in so deep.
And then in the stress of all of that, he misspells the word and then tries to go back, and they're like, nope,
you can't change the order.
Can't change the order of what you've done.
Yep.
And he's begging because he won last year.
Yeah.
And they're like, nope, you're off.
They're like, sorry.
And then another pandemonium happens, and they're like, oh my gosh, the winner just lost.
Yeah. And then Rona is getting such like joy out of this. She's living.
And yeah, because like each time like something really dramatic happens, she like turns to the audience and she's like, this is my favorite
part. Yeah, she's like,
I love when this happens.
This is the big upset.
She's a fan.
She's a fan.
Fan of the Bee.
And I love when you just remember these kids are like in sixth grade and she's invested.
She's in the beehive.
She's in the spelling beehive. It's so true. So then, yeah, he's gonzo.
And then the last audience speller gets eliminated. Give them just like so many difficult words to really just get them out if they keep winning.
And fun fact, they once had a actual speller, a person who won the National Spelling Bee. And I think they literally had to ask them to just like thanks and please go sit down.
Here's your honorary award.
Or maybe like tell them to not spell it right, because I think it went on for a long, long time. That's what you get.
And then Mitch, the comfort counselor, sings a beautiful song to the audience member for making it that far.
Yes.
Prayer of the comfort counselor.
So good. I love that song.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's so good.
I really like how William Finn does very Broadway songs and very like rocky, like pop rock songs. Like, so it's like some of these songs are good, just like jamming out songs.
True.
And then some of them are very like... jazzy Broadway.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He writes that line very well.
I agree.
Because like that song doesn't really feel like a Broadway song.
No, it also, yes, I agree. And I like it because the show, everything feels like it fits together, but at the same time, it doesn't really feel like it fits together. And I like it because all the characters are so different and everything is so goofy and random that they don't sound jarring together, but they don't all sound like, oh, that's clearly from the same show, which I kind of like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
So then the remaining spellers are like going on a break. Everyone's just like taking a little pause. They're tired. They're children. They're in the spelling bee. And then Chip.
He's back. This time he's selling snacks in the audience because this was his punishment for being the first one eliminated.
So, and he sings a song called My Unfortunate Erection. Absolutely hilarious. Chip's Lament. It's stunning, incredible,
super
amazing.
Funny. Yeah.
He's passing out like snacks in the audience. Perfect. No no other notes. Thank you.
Yeah, but then Barfay taunts Chip and throws a bag of peanut M&Ms at him.
Yeah, well, no.
Oh, no. Like, Barfay throws Chip, and Chip throws a peanut M&Ms at him, and Barfay's allergic.
Yeah.
So Olive picks it up for him, but I didn't like that part. I didn't think it was funny.
You said, that is so triggering.
I mean, I don't want to go on a rant, but I personally don't like when they use, like, allergies as, like, a comedic joke, because they often are in movies and TV shows and things, and then it just kind of, like, desensitizes people to it, and then it makes it seem like it's not as serious of a thing.
True.
Because the only, like content of allergies that people see in like media is usually as like a comedic function.
Fair.
So
that's a fair point.
Kind of lessens the intensity of it for me.
I'm kind of exposing myself. I did know this show before this, and I have seen it, and I don't remember that part. So I feel like it's not that funny of a bit.
Good.
You know what I mean? It's like
I read it and I was like,
there's many
like
funnier bits in the show. That bit is just like, okay.
Yeah.
I also feel like you couldn't even tell they're peanut M&Ms from the audience, unless you know what the bag looks like. I just think he's like throw something at him.
Right.
But I agree that allergies should not be a shtick.
Thanks.
Yeah. Anyway, so then Olive like picks it up, which is like, oh, Olive's so sweet. She's so nice to Barfay, even though he's kind of weird. And so then
they're like, oh, they have like a little like
they have a little thing, a
little cute moment.
Definitely. And so like Olive and Barfay like both are being awkward and like they're conversing and they have a little, yeah, a little thing, cutesy.
And then the break's over. And Rona's like, back. Here's the finalist.
Yeah. And so then Logan comes back and she sings a song about her two dads.
Woe Is Me.
Woe Is Me.
Another good song.
So good.
It's another sad song.
Now that we're getting into it, they are all a little sad.
Yeah.
With like a happy beat behind them. And so then they go through a lot of rounds through like a series of, just like a sequence of speeding through, everyone going up to the microphone. Right. Clearly they're just passing time, whatever. And then Leaf gets eliminated, which is so sad. And he sings, I'm not that smart again. But he's happy because
he made it
really far. Farther than anyone thought he would. So he's happy and he's proud of himself. And then Marcy comes back on to spell something. And Rona, in announcing her, it mistakenly says, oh, well, Marcy speaks 5 languages. And Marcy's like, no. And she's like, oh, sorry, I thought you spoke 5 languages. And she's like, no, I don't speak 5. I speak 6. And, like, sings a whole song.
And
about-
it sings, like, the song, like everybody knows from the show, but is my favorite song in the show.
Yeah.
It's so good.
So good. This, yeah, that's, like, the What's That From song.
Yeah.
I speak 6 languages. Absolutely incredible. And so she ends up, like, showing off and then gets another easy word.
Camouflage.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh my God, like, dear Jesus, can you come up with a harder word than that?
Yeah.
And then Jesus appears. Jesus literally appears and is like, you are in control of your own life. Nothing matters. And then she's like, nothing matters. And so then she intentionally gets the word wrong and is like, I'm out. I'm like
that
grounded and centered, and I don't need this in my life.
Love a Jesus bit. That is hilarious.
She's like, dear Jesus. And he's like, hello.
He's like, it's me, Jesus.
So funny.
So funny. And then we cut back to Olive, and her dad is calling her to tell her that he's going to be late.
Of course.
And so sad. And her, like, the vice principal, like, tries to, like, not let her answer, but she does. And he's like, yeah, I'm running late. Bummer.
Right.
Big bummer.
And then, like, the vice principal, it gets, like, annoyed and, like, loses his temper, which, like, kind of goes back to it in the beginning. We didn't mention this, but, like, he was, like, banned from the spelling bee because of, like, a previous incident that happened that we don't know about.
Right.
And now we kind of see he just has a temper and he kind of lashes out.
Yeah.
Lashed out at Logan. And then he's escorted off stage.
Yeah. And then, like, Logan, like, is up next, and then, like, one of Logan's fathers jumps on stage to, like,
calm her down. It's a random situation. I don't know where it just, like, escalates.
Yeah, but then, through a series of events, dumps soda on the ground on accident. Or, no, actually, no.
On purpose. Because he wants to win.
He wants to win. He hates losers. And so he dumps soda on the ground so that Barfay's foot will get stuck and it will not be magic anymore.
Right.
And so then after that, that's like the big, that is so catty, first of all, hello. Right. And so then Olive goes back up and she's sad to learn that he's running late. And
then she gets a word that like triggers her like imagination about, and she sings a song called the I Love You song.
Oh.
And just sings about how she wishes this is what her parents would say to her.
So beautiful.
She just wants to be loved.
That song is stunning.
It's so good.
Stunning. And so then Barfay goes up and his foot's stuck. But he spells it right anyway because he's good at spelling. He doesn't need his foot to spell well. And then Logan goes up and she gets out.
Woe Is Me reprise. She's out.
Woe Is Me reprise. She's out. And she has to go back to her dads who hate losers.
And then Rona sings again. This is my other favorite moment, is when we're down to the final two.
And things get really exciting. And of course, it's Olive and Barfay. And they kind of have, they know the cute little thing. They're both awkward and soft-spoken. Well, Barfay's a little outspoken, but Olive's soft-spoken, and they've developed a obvious rapport. And so by the end, Olive ends up spelling a word wrong, and Barfay has to spell two to win. That's mm-hmm. like the rule. And they're both singing about it, and eventually she's like, no, it's okay. But she calls him Barf, which is like so, I thought was so cute.
Yeah.
She's like, it's okay, you can spell it right. It's okay that I lose because I came in second, and like, that's great.
Right.
And then he wins. It's so cute. Yeah, it's so good. What a mature, like, conclusion to come to at such a young age.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
After coming all that way, too.
Yeah, and then at the end, they'd read a sentence or two about what they do.
Oh, and so Barfay gets $200 prize, and then Olive, the vice principal, decides to give her, like, a fake $25 prize to cover the fee that she would have had to pay. Yes, it's so sweet.
So cute.
And then they read, like, a little sentence about what they're going to do, what they do after.
Yeah.
In their future.
Yeah. Which is, like, seventh grade.
That's it. And I love that because it's, like, we get invested in these characters. Yeah. And then you get to a little bit know what happens after. What comes next.
It's so good. And, rightfully so, she did well on Broadway.
Yeah.
She ran for a long time. And, like,
a lot of people know this show. Yeah. This is probably one of the most well-known shows that we've done, I feel like.
Yeah, it ran for 1,136 performances. Wow. From, let's see, 2005 to 2008. That's a long time.
It's really good. Makes sense. I could totally see this as a show that people would come to New York and be like, oh, I wish we could see, and then see that. Yes. It feels like one of those, like...
And I think it's cool because there's audience participation. I'm sure, you know, if famous people are going or different, whatever, they could invite all, you know, that's right. a bit. And they also would have special performances of it with adults only, 18 or older.
Yes.
So then all the jokes would be super dirty. Which that just sounds so super fun, yeah. Hilarious. And so
and it did well the awards too. Like it got nominated for a bunch, but it won Best Book and Best Performance by a Featured Actor.
Yeah. I think this show rightfully deserved all of the above.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't get why more places don't do it.
I don't either. Trying to think, like, what would be the factor? Like, usually I feel like it's like, oh, it's the set. Oh, it's the size of the cast. Oh, it's the orchestra. But this is like no set.
No-brainer.
No big cast.
You just need funny people.
Right. And I can't imagine, like, the orchestrations are that big.
Hard.
Yeah, like.
I guess I don't know what word I'm looking for. Maybe it's deceivingly difficult because everyone does need to be good at improv.
Oh, I see.
Some people are great musical theater actors, but when it comes to improving, it's like not cute.
I see that.
You know?
Yeah.
But I can't. Okay, really? You can't find a cast.
You can find like six people who could do it. There's like six people on the show.
Yeah, literally. Like that seems like a little bit of a cop out, but maybe. But it did really well, and I'm glad it did well. And it was directed by James Lapine. Which, obviously... Do we need to even go any further into that?
Who's like
and the cast was great. If you know, like, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, if anyone watches Modern Family, he was in it. Or, like, Celia Keenan-Bolger, she was Olive.
Yeah.
Like, she's one of my favorite actresses, so I just always really admired that. But they had just a great cast of people. It's just awesome.
Overall, great. What was your favorite song?
My favorite song. I think my favorite song. Oh my gosh. I really love all of them. I honestly didn't even think about this because I just love this show. I think I like the I Love You song. I always go back to that one. And I think the Pandemonium are two that I gravitate towards. But I also just like listening to the album as a whole.
Yeah. I think I Speak Six Languages and the I Love You song are my favorites. And then I like Magic Foot.
So good.
Yeah.
It's so sweet. And I also like the Woe Is Me song. I think Logan Schwarzenegger is so funny.
Yeah, it's so good.
Like her lisp and it's just genius.
It's funny.
It brings me joy.
Yeah, for sure.
What would you rate the show?
I give it like a 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my god, is this our first 10 out of 10?
I think so. I don't think there's any reason to not give it a 10 out of 10. And I've never seen it. But I don't think there's any reason to not give it a 10 out of 10.
I agree.
There was nothing that stood out to me as a flaw. It just felt like its own unique thing, and I accepted everything that it gave me and, like, understood it and, like, appreciated it.
I completely agree. It's, like, it's literally not trying to be anything right. but itself.
So I really don't have anything to, like, base it off
You can't
of.
Even compare it to yeah. anything. Whoa, Josh, this is our first 10 out of 10.
25.
Out of the 25th episode? Whoa. So we're not suggesting that you listen to it. We're demanding that you listen to it. Because I mean, if you haven't heard it, seen it, then, like, what are you doing? But you're listening to it now.
You got to.
You have to.
Required listening for our listeners.
For our listeners to continue listening, we will have a quiz required for you to take. Fantastic show. 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. 10 out of 10.
Wow.
Okay, William Finn. We warmed up with a new brain, and now we're here.
And I wonder what we're going to do next week. I don't know if it'll live up to this.
I don't know. This the like now the bar is high.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, I guess you're just going to have to check us out next week to see if whatever we choose will live up to this one.
Give us a follow on TikTok and Instagram at WTF_BWAY.
Correct.
That's WTF_BWAY on Instagram and TikTok. We post updates every Monday and Wednesday. And now we post a little ticky-tacky every Friday, Saturday, sometime on the weekend. We'll keep you guessing. But see you next week.
See you then.
Spell you later.
B-Y-E.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.